more.
This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
Hi guys, it's Chris here. I'm so glad to welcome you back to our Summer of Purpose series here on the Equip and Empower podcast. Now, you know, I truly believe that God created each one of us on purpose and for a purpose. But I've also seen how having the wrong expectations about God's plans for our lives can cause us to veer off track. So in this episode, we are going to talk about finding the place God has for you rather than chasing some position that was never, ever meant for you. So don't forget to download your Summer of Purpose Reflection Guide at christinekane.com/podcast. It's totally free and it includes a few prompts that will help take what you're hearing today on the podcast and apply it to your own life. So this episode's going to be great. Let's get started.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited that you are here. I'm so glad that you have tuned in today. You have joined us during a great series and we're continuing with the whole concept of embracing our place. Do you know that God has set every member of the body in place? There is a place for you. There is nobody that is an accident and kind of just a throwaway in the kingdom of God. God has a divine plan, a divine purpose, and a divine destiny for every single one of us. And He has got a place for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 27, we read the whole portion of scripture, but right there, the Bible says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. That to me is very, very powerful. That actually God chooses where those people are put into place. We don't get to just choose. It's always interesting to me when people think, I'm going to be this part. You don't get to say, I'm going to be a mouth, or I'm going to be the elbow, or I'm going to be the kneecap. God is the one that sets us all in place, and He actually equips us for the place that He has set us. And so we need to embrace our place, and we have to understand that just because it's an unseen place for many doesn't mean it's unimportant to God. And because of the social media world in which we live, we think if you can't see it, then it's not important. And we tend to just applaud and put the spotlight on the things that look best on social media. But we know in the media, it's all filtered and it's all just taken at the right time, in the right place. We make sure we've got the right light and we put the... And you know what? God is not that impressed with our filters. God has set us in place and it is important. Wherever He has sent you, you might think this assignment is unimportant. You know, I'm a young mum with young kids. I'm part of this mum's group every week. You know what? That's important to God. That is important to God. How you conduct yourself in that place is important to God. Maybe you think, well, you know, I'm a blue-collar worker. I work in the factory all day. It really isn't a big problem. Preaching position, and God's like, oh no, I've got you there because I've got an assignment for you to do, and I need you to embrace your place in the place that I've put you. And it doesn't matter what your vocation is, it doesn't matter what age you are, God has set us all in place, and we need to embrace our place in every season of life. You don't kind of go, well, I've gotten to 50 or 60 and I've done my dash. No, no, no. If you woke up this morning and there was not a white chalk mark around your body, God's not finished with you. If you did not wake up in a very cold room in a sealed bag, it means that heaven is not ready for you yet. God is saying, no, you've got a place there in my body and I need you to embrace your place. And so we also have to understand that, you know, if you think, well, I've been displaced through hurt or offense or anything that, you know, someone can just replace me. Well, the truth is God will fulfill His purpose, but you can't be replaced. No one can run your race. Nobody can finish your course. Nobody. I could displace myself and God will still have His purpose in the kingdom, but there can be no other Christine Kane. Nobody else can run my race. Nobody else can finish my course. I don't need to be threatened. I don't need to be insecure because nobody can do what I've been put on this earth to do. Nobody can do what you've been put on this earth to do. And unless you embrace your place, it will never get done. That unique thing that you were on earth to do won't get done if you don't do it. It doesn't mean God's will won't get done, but your purpose might not be outworked. And so what we want to do is make sure that we do the very thing that God has called us to do by embracing our place. And here's the other thing. God has created us as a body so that we are interdependent. And the fact is, a lot of times, especially in America, I love America, the land of the brave and the home of the free, or, you know, whatever that is. And so, but the issue is here, it's like, I want to be the self-made man. I want to be the self-made woman, independent spirit. I like to do things all by myself. Well, you know, the only one that does things all by themselves is, I remember when my little Sophia was two and I would try to dress her and she'd be, Mummy, I could do that all by myself. And I, you know, and sometimes I think God looks at some of us and we look like we're having a little tantrum because we're going, God, I could do it all by. And he says, no, I actually put you in a body because you can't do it all by yourself. I can't do it. It doesn't matter how gifted or talented I am. We all need each other. Yes. At the end of the day, in order to function effectively, God has something for every single one. And to God, it is all important. What I'm doing is no more important than what you are called to do. Now, that doesn't devalue what I'm doing. And I better do it as unto God with all of my might. And I better embrace my place. But just because I'm the mouth does not mean that I don't need an arm or I don't need a leg. You remember I told you the story of my ACL, that small little ligament, smaller than this finger, I didn't know it existed. I may not know that some of you exist. It was hidden in behind my knee. But boy, when it snapped, I realized how much I needed it. And the fact is, across the global body of Christ, when we are not in place or we snap and get out of place, then we all realize, wow, I needed that part. I needed that part much more than I ever thought that I did. So don't only, because if you devalue your own place, you're going to devalue other people's places as well. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I don't know how God gave me a revelation, but from very early on in my Christian walk, I knew we needed each other. Mm-hmm. I knew that we needed all the denominations. I knew we needed all the diversity, all the different expression of how the body of Christ works. I knew that I had a big mouth, but I knew a big mouth without big hearts and big arms and big feet is useless. Mm-hmm. And I knew that we need the internal organs, the unseen parts and the seen parts. And I knew that everything mattered. Yes. And my prayer is that more and more of us in the body of Christ would get a revelation that everything matters, that your contribution matters, that your part matters, that is important. We're going to continue on today and discover that a position is not a place. And I think that's a very important thing, that destiny has a place. Do not confuse a prominent position in the body of Christ with an important place in the body of Christ. Our society is all about positioning ourselves. Everyone wants what's my title? What's my position? And sometimes we will not take our place if it doesn't have a position with us. And many of us in the body of Christ have sabotaged our destiny on the altar of a position that we wanted because we would not embrace the place that God set us. And it would be a sad thing to stand before God and give an account for your life and say, oh, I did what I wanted. And God says, but I put you in that place. I didn't like that place, God. I didn't like that call. It was too anonymous. It didn't seem important to me. I wanted the sort of place where man would applaud me. I wanted the kind of place that's shown all over social media. I wanted to feel important. And sometimes you can sacrifice your destiny, your joy, your peace on the altar of feeling important in the eyes of man. And I don't know what could be sadder, because you will fall so far short of the purpose and the potential that Jesus Christ has for you. At the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, God, am I in place? The Christian life is not a career. It's not a career. We're called to follow Jesus. And whether it's in vocational ministry or whether it's in the marketplace, it's all important. It's all kingdom. That's what actually really matters. And we have to make sure that, you know, we're asking God, am I meant to doing this? It's amazing. I've been involved in local church for 30 years. And I was a youth minister for a long time. It is amazing to me how many parents, without even thinking about it, their kids are flourishing in church, flourishing in the youth ministry, love Jesus, got great friends, making great choices. And then all of a sudden, one of the parents might get an opportunity for a job promotion in a different state for, you know, a salary increase. And without it, I'm not saying you don't do that every time, but I am saying that you need to ask God whether that's what God wanted you to do. Because some people, without even asking God, just go, oh, I've got a $100,000 pay rise and I'm going to go. This is a great opportunity. Well, at the end of the day, their kids, then they haven't even thought, is there another church in that place? Is there somewhere that my kids will get connected in that place? And they've ended up moving state. Their kids have not got connected into church. They've not made good friends. And let me just say, the rehab bills are more than $100,000 a year. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, when you are in place, the protection of God is there. The covering of God is there. The provision of God is there. And it is so important that as Christians in the day and age of, I can just pick what I want. You know what? You better be really careful about getting yourself out of place and out of covering and just going and doing whatever you want to do and say, well, I just want to do that job and I just have this dream and I just don't want to serve that leader anymore. I'm just going to, you know what? All I'm saying is that you need to just press pause, get a little bit of wise counsel and make sure that you are doing the right choice. Because sometimes just because it's easy doesn't mean it's God. Just because I don't like this anymore now, you know, God might have you in a place because he's trying to work something in you. You might be under someone in a job, maybe in a school that you're not that keen on. Maybe you're in an environment where you're going, you know what, this is uncomfortable. I feel like I'm being pressed and I'm being squeezed. And God says, yes, I'm conforming you and transforming you into my image. This is part of your sanctification process. So if you try to abort the sanctification process, you're not becoming like Christ. And then you get out of the covering of God, you get out of the protection of God, and you embrace a whole new set of problems because you never stop to ask God, am I in place? Let's not go after a worldly career. Let's not just try to move up in the accolades of the world unless the Lord has told us to do that. We don't need to just get a bigger house and get a bigger mortgage and put more stress on our families and our family finances and keeping up with the Joneses and trying to do this. And get, you ask God, is this what I am meant to do? And I think a lot of times it's not that it's a be all and end all, but in some cases it definitely is be all and end all. At some cases it is the difference between your kids actually walking in the things of God or not walking in the things of God. It's actually the difference between you having peace and not having peace, having some margin in your life where you've got a little bit left over instead of just being so committed to the point that you can't be generous, you can't be free, you can't have a little bit of fun. And you've done that to yourself because you never bothered to ask God, am I supposed to do it? You've just looked at the world around you and thought everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. Don't displace yourself. Don't displace yourself because there is protection and there is covering in a place. In 1 Samuel 16, 11 to 13, I love this, when Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel. In verses 11 to 13, right here in the scripture, it says, then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And so here we are, that, can you imagine, the prophet Samuel had come to anoint the next king of Israel. So Jesse brings his seven sons or seven of his sons in front of Samuel. And then it gets to the point where Samuel goes, it's none of these guys. Have you got another one? Can you imagine how you would feel, the loser kid, that your father did not even bring you into the party? I mean, this was going to be an anointing service for the next king of Israel, and David was the one that was going to be anointed. David was the one that God had chosen. So David was not even invited to his own party. Do you know how bad that feels? Imagine if he was scrolling through social media, hashtag sacrifice festivity party. All his brothers are there, his father's there, the prophet Samuel's there, and he's not there. He would have got his nose out of joint. Thank God there was no social media, because he might have left his place, and his place was on the back of the mountain. And a lot of us, we lose our place because we get our noses out of joint. But God had him in his place. God had him looking after the sheep, killing a lion and killing a bear, getting him ready to kill Goliath in the future. He had him developing a shepherd's heart as he was looking after the lion and the sheep. And you know, when it came for the time of promotion, God goes to a place. God knew where to find David. God will find you if he has assigned you. See, a lot of us, we lose our place to go and find a position because we want everyone to see us. And God says, you know what? I'm not seeing you in your position because I've gone to the place I assigned you. And I came to this place to find you, and oh, you're not here. So I cannot put you in the position I want to put you in because you chased the position that you wanted. And so many of us are out of place in the kingdom of God because we're chasing a position that we wanted and we're not prepared to wait for God to propel us to the place that he has for us because we don't trust him. But David stayed in place. David stayed in, and I love that the prophet Samuel said, oh, we're just going to stand here. Have you got another son? And King David appears on the pages of Scripture, no name. Yeah, I got another one, that kid. That's how he appears on the pages of Scripture. And Samuel goes, oh, we're not going to sit down until he comes. Can you imagine how awkward that was? Like, how long did that take? I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible. Like, I'm like, 5 hours? Where was the field? I don't know. But like, well, we're just standing. Awesome. It's like hilarious to me. And so we sit there and he never left his place. And because David didn't leave his place, God found him. And God catapulted him to king of Israel. Well, he's not the only one. There's also Moses. And right there in Exodus 3:2, when God wanted to launch Moses, what did he do? He came to the back of the desert. Moses was in the desert. God turns up in a burning bush. He came to the place where Moses was to give him the greatest freedom project in human history. He was going to free over 1 million Israelites out of Egypt to take them into the promised land. And where did God find Moses? In the back of a desert. You might be feeling right now that you are totally displaced. You might be feeling like God has forgotten you, like God has forsaken you, like God doesn't even know where you are. But let me tell you one thing. He's brought this broadcast right into the place that you are, not by accident, but to remind you that there is a place for you. And even if man has forgotten you, like Jesse forgot his son, even if man has overlooked you, like Samuel overlooked, he thought Eliab was going to be the next king of Israel. The prophet can get it wrong. The father of the house can get it wrong, but God will never get it wrong. God will find you and locate you and promote you to the position that he has for you. God will never forget where he's placed you because God sets every member in place. If more of us trusted God, less of us would be trying to climb the ladder. And I would find, and a whole lot more would happen. Do you know, every position in my life has come by me simply being in place. I was serving at the youth ministry, and one day in the youth ministry, I was still in college, they called a church cleanup day. Well, the fact was, I went to the church cleanup day, and do you know how many other people went to the cleanup day? None. Me. So I always say, God always runs out of options. You just got to do what nobody else would do. And God's like, wow, you're the only one that's here. Tag, you're it. I guess I'm going to look good. And so at the end of the day, it's the way that it works. I turned up, and that was at that day, the assistant youth pastor was there, and he gave me an opportunity right there to begin to be involved serving in the youth center. Well, that was how my big first ministry break came. I had not been praying. I went to a church cleanup day. I was cleaning a storeroom. And out of that came the call to ministry. I was in place. God found me in that place. And then I served faithfully in the youth center. And I was just serving at-risk young people. Thursday nights, we would go down where kids had been drinking and doing drugs, and we would spread the love of Jesus and give them food and clothing and take them into rehab and do all the things that you do. Well, God saw me in that. You didn't know me there. But God found me in that place. And I did that faithfully for 7 years. No one was applauding me. We didn't even have social media then. We didn't even have the internet then. I'm as old as the dinosaurs. This is before these things existed. And I was just in my place, serving Jesus, so happy. And then he came and found me, and my senior pastor came and promoted me to this position where I was the state director of Youth Alive, which was a big youth evangelist. We would have arenas full of thousands of young people, and I would have the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and give an invitation for people to receive Jesus. And I was doing that all over Australia, in country towns, in the back of nowhere. And you know, when suddenly sort of I arrived here in America, people are like, whoa, what an overnight success. I'm thinking it was a flipping long night. It was a long night. There is no overnight successes. And so all of that time I was serving, and I was as passionate then as I am today. And I served there, and then my pastor asked my husband and I to oversee the Hillsong Network. I never sent out any business cards. I never asked any. I was just in place the whole time. And because I was in place all of those years, he asked us to look over after the Hillsong Network and network churches and pastors and help to build teams and build churches. And I did that for 7 years in place. And out of that came the opportunity to start the A21 campaign, which is what people now know. But we're talking, I was 20-odd years into this journey by then. And then building for the last 9 years, the A21 campaign, and then last year, we launched Propel for Women Who Lead around the world. But every time, it has come by staying in place, and God has come to the place where he last assigned me
to give me the new instructions for the next assignment. What most of us do is we get so frustrated in that place, either we get bitter or we just get bored or we get offended or it's not happening quick enough. So we go out and start chasing something and God comes to the last place He sent us and He goes, where are you? And you're running over there out of the will of God, trying to find the will of God. And God says, if you just stayed in the will of God and allowed me to develop your character and sanctify you through and through, then by the time I got to you, you'd be ready to go where I wanted to send you. And so many people have aborted their destiny because they have gotten out of place. And so I think it's really important that we understand the power of that, how Joyce Meyer became my spiritual mother. I was her driver. I was a youth leader that was assigned to be her driver. And I remember it was 20 years ago. She came to Australia. I was just nobody knew me. I was a youth leader. And the pastor said to me, Christine, you know, we've got Sister Joyce Meyer's coming to speak at a faith conference and we want you to be her driver. And I was like so excited because she's like larger than life, my hero. And I couldn't believe it. So he said, I need you to pick her up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I went there at 5:30 in the morning because I didn't want to be late. And I was so nervous and I had borrowed a suit of one of my friends because I wanted to look really awesome. And I was a youth leader, so I only owned jeans with holes in them. And this is before it was trendy and you paid a lot of money for them. They had holes because they were old. And so that's what I did. And I remember I was waiting outside of a hotel room. And I was a few doors down. And so I would never recommend this now if you get asked to pick up a guest speaker, but you know, back then. And then she opened her door to get the breakfast that came from the hotel. And I was like so embarrassed because it was like so early in the morning. So I like looked the other way, pretend that I was like a statue in the highway, like a mannequin in the, you know, whatever. And so then about an hour later, she opens the door again so that she could push the tray back out. And then Nerd is still standing there, you know, like I did not know what to do. And then she yells out, she goes down the hallway, you know, are you here for me? Okay, I have to tell you the truth. Everything in me wanted to lie in that moment. I just wanted to say like, no, I'm just like, you know, just vacuuming the hallway. I don't know. But then I thought if I lie, then she's going to get in the car with me and she's going to know I'm the driver, that I'm the liar. So, no, you know, no guest speaker wants a liar driver driving you. Okay, so I was there and then she said to me, and so I didn't know what to do. I went, yeah, I didn't want to be late. I felt like such a nerd. And so then she said to me, oh, okay, then, kind of in her, you know, Joyce, like, well, I guess you better come in. Then I'm thinking, my pastor's going to kill me. My pastor is going to kill me. I'm walking down, I'm going into Joyce Meyer's room. I'm like dying. And then I walk in the room. I didn't even know. All I kept thinking was, man, you look even smaller in real life than on TV. But anyway, that's all I could think about was like, she looked like so tiny. And then she was putting her jacket on, man. There was just like bling. And so then she takes me to her wardrobe. I'll never forget it. Opens it all up and she goes, and there's all this bling. And she goes, Christine, the more it sparkles, the more I like it. And I'm like, whoa, do I look like a sparkle chick to you? What part of me might look like a... Then we got in the car and I drove her and I had the privilege of driving her for a week. You know what my place was that week? I was a driver, a simple driver. I was the youth leader whose pastor had asked her to drive. And out of driving and serving the woman of God, you know, 20 years later, by God's grace, I have the opportunity of speaking at so many of her conferences and she comes to so many of mine. She's definitely a spiritual mother in every sense of the word. Most every single one of my major life transitions in the last 20 years, she has been the major counsel that has spoken into my life, that has kept me on track. God had all of that plan, but had I chased that instead of staying in place and being content to be a driver, I would never be in relationship with her in the way that I am today. I don't know how to explain more thoroughly to a generation that is taught to market yourself, that you need to stop marketing yourself and you need to get marked by God. Because when you are marked by God, you will go much further than you ever will if you market yourself. It is God that has promoted me. It is God that has given me opportunity. It is God that has given me divine alignments and divine connections because I understood that God
God sets every member in place. Now, that day, I did not know that Joyce Meyer was going to become my spiritual mother, but I served her as passionately, not knowing that, as I do now, knowing that. If you start to pick and choose what you're going to do with passion and what you're not, and how you're going to manipulate and how you're going to try to orchestrate things, I'm telling you, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a person reaps or sows, that's what that person will reap. God knows your heart. God judges the intents of your heart. It does matter to God. I know we live in a social media world. I know we live in a world where it seems put your best face forward, put your best filter forward, but let me promise you, that is not how it works with God. God sets every member in place, and then He watches to see what you do in your place before He promotes you to another place. So stay faithful where you are, and God will catapult you to your destiny in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, in your economy and in your kingdom, there is no wasted place. Every place matters, and God, only you know where you are going to catapult us. So help us as your servants to be faithful and loyal to you in this season, in this time, in this place that you have us, that you may get glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.